Welcome to the Modern Marketing Podcast, where we discuss all things related to modern marketing techniques, including lean, agile, design thinking, and customer centricity. This podcast is produced by the Agile Marketing Alliance so that we can learn, share, and grow together. I'm Melissa Reeve, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we're speaking with Steve DeCaspers, Vice President of Marketing at Brightspeed, and Megan Corcoran, Senior Director of Prepaid at US Cellular. Steve and Megan share their story of stopping the overwhelm at US Cellular, reducing time to market, and improving campaign execution. Welcome to the show, Steve and Megan.
It's great to be here, Melissa.
So Steve, let's start with you. What led you to pursue these modern marketing techniques at US Cellular?
You know, at US Cellular, we were involved in a really highly competitive business and a fast-changing technological environment. And we had processes that we weren't entirely satisfied with our ability to change when we needed to change, as quickly as we needed to change, and alter direction. The other issue was we weren't always as clear and collaborative across the organization on what we were trying to achieve. I probably started with reading Measure What Matters and getting into OKRs. And I sort of stumbled into OKRs and started talking to my team, which Megan was a part of, about our need to get clearer about OKRs. But there was still something missing, and Megan really helped me understand what that was.
So Megan, fill us in. What was missing?
Yes. Well, at the time, I was responsible for marketing planning at US Cellular. And one of the things we kept doing to try to improve our go-to-market time was redesign the process. And so we kept redesigning the process in the effort of trying to shave off 1 to 2 days at a time. What we learned is when we went to go redesign the process, we weren't really ultimately gaining any efficiencies. So I started to figure out there must be a better way. This waterfall planning approach, it's hard. You can only shave days or two off at a time. And we were looking to shave off months. And we were looking to be much more informed about the decisions that we were making. And so with that, we just started searching for other tools and methodologies. And that's where I started listening to different podcasts. And I stumbled upon agile marketing at the same time that Steve stumbled upon the whole OKR story. And we started to connect the dots that these two things were interrelated. And we just went on a journey to learn all we could about agile marketing to see if that could help fix some of the challenges that we were facing.
So it sounds like it was really grassroots. Did you have top-down buy-in as well? And if you did, how did it affect you? Or if you didn't, how did you move forward despite that lack of buy-in?
Yeah, we took the concepts of agile marketing upward at our organization to my leader at the time, who was the head of marketing, and all the way up, frankly, to the CEO. We knew that we needed to be faster and we needed to be better. But one of the things that was important at US Cellular was employee engagement. And that was one of the things that made me really start to embrace agile, which was not only could we be better marketers and drive more successful outcomes, but the folks who were working for us could be more engaged, more empowered. And we knew that our leadership found that to be as important as the way we worked or anything else like that. And that became a really important part of the story for how we tried to move toward agile.
Yeah, what I like about what you said is that you took something that you wanted to do and you aligned it with a goal of the executives or leadership.
Yeah, so that's what we did. And what we got was conceptual buy-in. And I think that's a very important distinction when it comes to buy-in for agile. It is hard not to be bought into the concepts of being outcome focused, driving decisions further down in the organization and so on and so forth, right? All of those principles of agile, it is actually very easy for executives to align around. And I think sometimes that can be fool's gold when it comes to believing that you have buy-in. On the other hand, you need to ask yourself, do I have buy-in into the challenges that such a change management process is going to, you know, is going to present? Do I have buy-in into the discomfort and difficulties it's going to be for people to forget their old habits and embrace new habits? Do I have buy-in to priorities changing and shifting within the context of what we're doing? And I, as the executive, didn't know that that was change was going to happen. I didn't realize that we had reprioritized things within our backlog, and I'm going to be surprised by some things. I'm trying to be very comfortable with that, but not everybody can. So it's conceptual buy-in versus practical buy-in.
So which did you have? Did you have conceptual buy-in? It sounds like yes. And then did you have practical buy-in?
So conceptual buy-in is actually very easy. Who doesn't want to line up around, you know, around these concepts? But practical buy-in was going to be a much harder road. And I think Megan really found the way to practical buy-in.
Yeah. So instead of trying to deploy agile and kind of boil the ocean and impact every single area of the business, we picked a little tiny area of the business that no one was focused on, which happened to just be our prepaid business at the time. The CEO wasn't concerned about it. There weren't really any resources that were dedicated to it that would have a dog in the fight in terms of what our agenda and trying to get this deployed. And so we went to our leaders and we said, hey, we will try to improve our churn and make customers stay one more month. And we're going to use this agile methodology to do so. We've identified these believers within the organization that are going to help bring this to life, which is much more kind of at my level. And that's how we ended up getting the practical buy-in that we needed to at least start playing around with the concept of agile. But I think that's also when the conceptual buy-in starts to fall apart, is because when you're actually doing agile in practice, they start to see the massive amount of change in the way that you're working, the way that you're managing your priorities. Your leaders ultimately need to change with you. And I think at one point there was this belief that, oh, we can have this team go and be agile and we can benefit from all the outcomes, but I don't know how much we need to change. And so that's where I think the disconnect between the conceptual and the practical really happened, at least from my experience.
So you got me on the edge of my seat. What happened?
Well, I left the company. I ended up leaving to pursue a different opportunity at Brightspeed, and I can talk about that a little bit. What I left with was an understanding of agile concepts and an understanding of how we make the case for that. And I actually went and tried to do that at my new company. Megan, on the other hand, stepped into the prepaid role.
So while I wasn't able to get fully to the agile stand-up discipline that you learn about in kind of the traditional agile marketing approach, what I was able to do is borrow a lot of the principles and develop a team where you have a strategy expert within that's really focused on the prepaid business and that customer centricity that we're really looking for. And then that pod leader, for lack of a better word, would then go work with each of the execution teams. So while we have not been able to successfully get all the way to digital agile deployment, we are able to manage the team and the workload in a way that everybody has full visibility to what's going on across the entire customer experience. Everyone's fully empowered to manage their area of the business. Everyone's using metrics and very focused goals and tactics in order to be able to do so and drive those outcomes. And the one area that I mentioned earlier that we picked to focus on was to drive down churn. At that point in time, we had massive churn. We were losing 50% of our customers within the first month they were with us. And so our focus for an entire year was, let's just find ways to get customers to stay 1 month longer. And I will say that this year we actually ended up achieving record low churn for the prepaid business during a couple of the key quarters. And so while we still have a long way to go, just being able to broaden the visibility into what the strategy is, how we're serving that customer in more of a comprehensive, holistic way, I will say really has helped drive improvements in the overall business. And most importantly, that overall customer experience and our relationship with that customer.
Yeah, I love it. It's what we call the take what you can get version of Agile. And really, the goal of Agile isn't to implement a process. The goal of Agile is to achieve better outcomes for the business and the customer. And just hearing you talk about it, you are making exceptional progress in that direction. So Steve, you mentioned that in the midst of this, you left the organization of US Cellular. You went over to Brightspeed, taking some of what you learned with you. Can you share a little bit of that experience with our audience?
Yeah, I went into it very wide-eyed and optimistic about going to more of a startup type of organization and understanding how much easier it would be to implement all of my agile thinking and OKRs and principles And boy, did I get a big surprise when I got there. You know, it's always a change management and an altering of behavior challenge, right? We actually brought together a bunch of folks from a whole bunch of different organizations, none of whom you would say would be standouts on that Mount Rushmore of Agile. And so it was one of those things where I think, again, everyone was conceptually aligned. But when it comes to saying, and therefore we're going to alter our behavior, and I'll say this, even myself, the practical implications of making a move to this are very, very difficult. Perseverance is probably one of the top qualities that you have in order to drive to that. You have to be willing to fumble your way through the journey to Agile and not think that you're failing because you're not fully implemented, but understand that you're succeeding because you're applying Agile principles one at a time.
Can you give us a sense of how that looked for you? What were some of the areas where you felt like you were fumbling and then you kept going and you realized, oh, we actually are making some progress?
Yeah. When I think about what I wanted to drive at Brightspeed, it was clarity on what we were trying to do, collaboration among teams in how we actually get to those goals, and then some type of accountability around and clear measurement of the results. I think when it came to clarity on what we were trying to do, we had some success using OKRs and really trying to boil it down to one key thing that we were trying to achieve. One of those was to restore our reputation in the market. We acquired a brand, transitioned to Brightspeed. So we acquired some customers and we had some challenges for how we were perceived in the marketplace from the brand that we acquired. You could see that in some of the reviews that came up when you would look Google us online. And I'm proud to say that we were able to identify that as an area that we knew we needed to improve. And we have made great improvements in what those reviews look like through the collaboration of people on our marketing team, our technology team, and within our field operations group. And you will, if you learn about telecom at all, you'll know that those types of organizations typically operate in silos. So I'm proud of how we come together. On the other hand, some of our collaboration across marketing, right, within the family has been an area where we've got so many things to fix and so many things to repair. You just start looking at your own area and trying to improve things, and you don't necessarily figure out how you can leverage each other's area of expertise to move forward. Lastly, I think that I want to be in an environment where we're driving decisions down in the organization to the experts. But as we've been in our infancy, a lot of those decisions keep getting laddered up for approval and for evaluation at the executive level, which is good in some cases when there's a lot of risk, but can also be a bit of a time waster when you're just trying to move things forward.
So Megan, Steve just talked about decentralizing decision-making. And I'm curious if that factored into what you were trying to do over at US Cellular. And if so, how did that look?
It's interesting. Because of the changes in the org that happened and I was promoted into a senior director role, I had full decision-making power over all of the prepaid team. So for me, it was less about trying to get more decision-making. I had full control of that. Where my biggest breakdown was then the leaderships of the execution team. Then I need to gain the buy-in to actually go off and do the work. So within our brand organization, within our media organization, within our CRM organization, they had other processes and they had entire teams dedicated. And so trying to get them to be aligned with what I wanted to do and how I wanted to go to market when they were serving multiple areas of the business, not just prepaid, but a whole bunch of different product lines. And each of those individual teams weren't ready for that level of transformation. They were willing to give you a person to go and work for you and dotted line into the project, but they weren't willing to do the hard work to then necessarily transform their individual teams or even learn enough about Agile to want to implement it more holistically within each of their organizations. So that's really where, within my organization, that's where things fell apart a little bit, was more cross-functionally and less about top-down decision-making.
And so then how did you address that? Or is that still an outstanding issue?
That is. It's something that we're still working towards. And that is why I'm not fully able to execute my campaigns via Agile. So how we are handling it is we do have dedicated resources that work on our product, and then they liaison directly to the agencies. And so we have cut out several of the middlemen that exist in a lot of our other processes, I just say, across the organization. And what I have noticed is the quality of work in which we are able to deliver and the efficiency of how we're able to deliver that work is significantly better than the other lines of business that are using that more traditional waterfall sort of approach. And people are getting the information handed from one siloed area of the business to the other and trying to connect those dots on their own. I think there's a lot of time that's wasted in a lot of those handoff conversations. And we just sit down, have those all together. We pull in the agency real quickly, have the same conversation with them, and then we're off to the races. And we have a system in which those business leads come back to the core team to review the most important decisions. And then they're off executing the rest of the work with their teams and their partners.
Yeah, and I think our listeners will get a lot from that, because there's always this disconnect from when you're teaching Agile by the book, which is let's form all these cross-functional teams and you're going to have dedicated individuals on these teams, to the reality. And you were clearly dealing with the reality of partner organizations within marketing that weren't ready to, didn't want to transform into that method. And yet you still kept your eye on the outcome and said, well, I think there's still a few things that we could do. Thanks for sharing what that looks like on the ground.
Yeah.
So Megan and I formed such a great partnership when we were at US Cellular, because I was a very ideas oriented person and she was very, you know, again, grit and perseverance are two of her hallmark characteristics. I actually have some people at Brightspeed who have similar grit and perseverance, including my champion of these processes. And by the way, we're not necessarily championing Agile. We're championing a different way of working together, right? With extreme transparency, ruthless prioritization, process tools and things that are implemented so that we stay on top of things. And for those folks, it's been incredibly frustrating to have to fight through those challenges. But if I were going to trade book knowledge of how to run Agile versus perseverance and grit, willingness to fight through the challenges of that change management, I would draft the perseverance and grit before the knowledge every single time. It has been the thing that I have had the hardest time with, but have also noticed is the most important piece of that type of implementation.
Yeah, it is somebody who's been around, quote unquote, Agile for a long time. How we might characterize that is the difference between being Agile, which is grit, perseverance, embracing transparency, versus doing Agile, which is we must have stand-ups, we must estimate all of that. And it's actually very refreshing for me to hear you both so much embracing the being of Agile. This has been such a great conversation. And time has flown by. We're nearing our time box. But Megan, you've alluded to some metrics and improvement metrics that you've experienced. Can you consolidate those for us and share what kind of progress you've made by implementing these new ways of working?
Yeah. So I would say where we focused the most in our Agile deployment was on the CRM side, which is trying to get our customers to stay with us longer and drive ongoing engagement with them. And we did a couple different things to do that. We stood up some new product features, which we found ultimately helped keep our customers longer. One of them was called Grace Period, where when customers stopped paying their bill, we gave them 3 extra days to pay. We found that just deploying that tactic alone, we had 20% of our customers using that every single month. And that ultimately improved our churn and our customer lifetime, because we were getting that one more month every time customers were doing. So some of it was making some product improvements. Other of it was making just improvements in our basic lifecycle communications. We did not have a very sophisticated lifecycle communication strategy when we originally started talking. So a lot of it was getting that team focused on setting up automated touch points. We are now to a point in time where we have about 40 to 50% of our customer communications automated, and we have our engagement significantly better than we did 2 years ago when we first started all of this. overall, our customer communications are up 70% from 2 years ago when we didn't have Agile and we weren't talking to customers at all to where we sit today. And then the last metrics I'll reference is really that churn number. We have been able to achieve some record low churn throughout this year, and our customer lifetime has improved by about 5 months in one of our product line and about 1 month in one of our other product lines. So just generally speaking, a lot of success in the outcomes that we delivered.
Yeah, I love it. And before I get to you, Steve, Megan, what kind of interest is that generated internally? Are people paying attention?
Yeah, they actually are. Yeah, I have a very lean team. And so what you find is the talent that really wants to drive change, that loves rolling up their sleeves and really being fully empowered and held accountable, that's the type of talent that I've ended up attracting. I have an excellent team and I couldn't do any of this without them. But a lot of it, Agile has helped attract the right type of talent to want to work within the prepaid business. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of success with it.
Yeah, that's great to hear. So, Steve, you took these concepts, you moved them over to Brightspeed. What have you seen in terms of improvement metrics?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's about building and selling our fiber network. And one of the key metrics that we track is what I would call the sales curve, right? When we launch a cohort of prems, households or small businesses that are able to get our service, how many of those are we selling in month one, in month two, in month three? We call that the sales curve. Here's the cool thing. What we see is our sales curve, we're tracking it for every cohort we launch. And each month we launch a new cohort, the sales curve looks incrementally better than the last one. And I think that's when we think about where we are in maturity of our business and our marketing capabilities, seeing that progress has been really good. One other thing that we're tracking is we've embraced Asana as our workflow management tool, and the number of people using Asana and the number of projects and tasks and other things that are going into that. We track that, and that has consistently gone up as well. I think that we need to track attitudes about the use of that as well. We want to make sure that's working for us instead of us working for it. But I think I've liked the adoption curve that we've seen on that as well.
So same question as Megan, has your success attracted attention or is it just like, good job? You were supposed to improve this and it's happening.
Yeah, our success has attracted attention. We have to keep continuously improving our performance. So the question is, why are we having the success? I think that some of the changes that we've made and the adjustments that we've made in our go-to-market efforts, adjustments in our pricing, adjustments in some of our marketing, those are all outcomes of us getting together, communicating, collaborating and deciding to make a fairly quick change. And so that is, yeah, I think the attention that we're getting is good attention.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Steve and Megan, for sharing your stories with us. I know I've learned a few things. Great to hear what's going on in the field.
Well, thank you, Melissa. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to check out the show notes and more at agilemarketingalliance.com/podcast.